Quit raising your standard of living and start raising your standard of giving. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but you never have enough. You drink but you never have your fill. You put on clothes but you're never warm. You earn wages. Put them in a bag with holes in it. It's never enough. The prophet is telling them to take a long, hard look in the mirror. You're putting yourself first. You spend all your time taking care of you. How's that working out for you? Hello. Sometimes we need people to come into our life and ask us that question. Because here's reality. Your system. Now, I love you. Come on. Say. You love me. Cares about me. He thinks I'm special and precious and just wonderful. I love you, but your system is perfectly designed for the results you're getting right now. And I mean that across the board. Your eating habits are perfectly designed for your current weight. Preaching to myself on that one. Your relationship with your husband and wife are perfectly designed for the marriage you have right now. Your prayer and your worship life is perfectly designed for the spiritual fruit you're seeing in your life at present time. Oh, I know that's tough. Don't get nervous in the service. I'm here to help you today. I'm here to help somebody. Your system is perfectly designed for the results you're getting. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. If you want God to do something new, you can't keep doing the same old stuff. Now look down at verse 13. Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody needs to hear that word right now. Somebody needs to know that God is with you. Somebody needs to know if God is for you, who can be against you? I like what Frederick Douglass said. He said, God in one makes a majority every time. If God is with me, God plus me is a majority, and nobody can stand against me. Verse 14 is where I want to park the food truck today. So the Lord stirred the spirit of Zerubbabel. There's that word, stirred. Somebody say stirred. So the Lord stirred the spirit of Zerubbabel, and the Lord stirred the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. And now get this, it's contagious. It's real contagious. Because if you get stirred up, people around you are going to get stirred up. I tell you, when I was sitting in the pews, I made up my mind I was going to be the worship leader on my pew. I was going to be the one who clapped the loudest and praised the craziest. Because when you get stirred up, people around you get stirred up too, because it is contagious. It's more contagious than the Mississippi Mud Squirrel Revival. When God stirs the people with His Spirit, it gets contagious. The Lord stirred the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and began to work on the house of the Lord of hosts. Church, it always starts with a stirring. It always starts with a stirring. Every move of God begins with a stirring. Revival starts with a stirring. Vision starts with a stirring. Tell somebody it's time to get stirred up. God wants to stir the hearts of His people in these last days to do a great work. And before I leave, let me give you five ways the Holy Spirit stirs us up, okay? Five ways, and it's going to be brief, so pay attention, all right? I'm going to speak fast and listen fast. Five ways the Holy Spirit stirs us. Number one, the Holy Spirit stirs us with sanctified emotions. With sanctified emotions. When I was in Bible college, I had a professor ask me this question: what makes you cry and what makes you pound your fist on the table? In other words, what makes you sad and what makes you mad? Pay attention to those things, because maybe God is stirring something up in those areas of your life. Okay, and I would add glad to the mix. What puts a smile on your face? Because here's what happens. Your heart begins to break for the things that break the heart of God, and it moves you. Okay, and then the Word of God says, delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 37:4, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you allow God to work on those emotions, those things that He's given you a burden to do something about, when you let that marinate and build inside of you and you put that into action, God will give you the desires of your heart. There is nothing more fulfilling in life than doing something that matters, making a difference in somebody's life. God will build within you those desires and those sanctified emotions. Sometimes it's mad, sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's glad, but it's always serving God's purpose. Let God turn your misery into a ministry. Amen? Number one, sanctified emotions. Number two, the Holy Spirit stirs us with God ideas. I'd rather have one God idea than 1,000 good ideas, right? Good ideas are good, but God ideas change the course of history. But let's be honest, it's not always easy to discern between a good idea and a God idea, is it? Lord, is that you speaking, or is that a hot dog I ate last night? Hello? If we're being really honest, it's not always easy to know the difference between a good idea and a bad idea. But I do know this about a God idea. A God idea will always take you beyond your ability and beyond your resources, beyond your education, and beyond your experience. God will take you beyond your own limitations. Zerubbabel is in over his head, but that is when God shows up and shows off. I really believe there are moments in this Christian faith where you just have to go big or go home. Show me the size of your dream, and I'll show you the size of your God. Hello, your vision is a reflection of your theology. I'll just let that soak in. All right, and I'll move on to number three. The Holy Spirit stirs us up with prophetic words. We aren't just the priesthood of believers. We are the company of the prophets. Moses himself said, I wish all the Lord's people were prophets. And New Testament prophecy is about speaking words of comfort and words of encouragement as the Holy Spirit stirs us. Have you ever had somebody say to you the right words at the right time? Man, that can change the trajectory of your life, and that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's the way you pray over somebody you love. Sometimes it's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. But one way or the other, Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love in good works. Not only is the Spirit of God stirring us, but we ought to be stirring each other. Amen? Listen, we don't just prophesy to people. Can I just throw this in? We prophesy to crack houses that become church houses. We prophesy to abandoned buildings that become rehab centers, church. It's time to prophesy over this city and prophesy over this nation and speak the will of God and say, Lord, your kingdom come here as it is on earth. We need to prophesy and declare, devil, we're taking back everything you stole from us. Jesus said the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. When is the last time you ever saw the gates of a city attacking an army? Church, we are not playing defense. We're on the offense. We're supposed to be storming the gates of hell. Hello. Amen. Sanctified emotions, God ideas, prophetic words. Number four, the Holy Spirit stirs us up with holy discontentment. Now, this is how God gets me many, many times. He makes me so uncomfortable that I got to move. I got to step out in faith. And this one does get tough. At some point, the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of changing. That's when we go to the altar. Unfortunately, often not a second sooner. Deuteronomy 32 says that God is like the eagle that stirs the nest. How does a mother eagle stir the nest? By removing the feathers and removing the down. Why? To make the baby birds uncomfortable. Well, that doesn't sound very motherly. Well, listen, if you have kids, you know there comes a moment when those baby birds got to get out the nest. Maybe around age 18, okay? That big bird's got to go. There comes a moment where the mama eagle removes the layers of comfort and removes the layers of security. Why? So the sticks start poking at those baby birds. Okay, right? Poke the bear, poke the bird. Same difference, right? If you don't get out of the boat, you'll never walk on water. If you don't get out of the nest, you'll never learn to fly. God loves you too much to leave you in a place of comfort, because you never grow in a place of comfort. So many moments in our history as a church, God stirred the nest. He stirred a man named Caleb McAfee, who came to Goldsboro in 1952 just to start a home Bible study and reach the lost. And that home Bible study became us. Hello. Pastor Curtis Butler was moving in the gifts of the Spirit, and the church grew and grew and grew, and God stirred the nest and sent him to the mission field in the Philippines. And through every season, the closing of a daycare that used to be in this building became where we worship. These all came because God stirred the nest. And I thank God for those inconveniences and for those discomforts. I thank God for the things that were so scary when they happened, because that's how we learn to fly, church. Maybe God's stirring you with some discomfort in your life right now. Know that God is with you and God is working and moving and stirring you to move forward. Sanctified emotions, God ideas, prophetic words, holy discontentment. Number five, the Holy Spirit stirs us with Scripture. The Holy Spirit stirs us with Scripture. The Bible says that all Scripture is God breathed by His Spirit. Psalm 119, if you didn't know, is the longest chapter in the Bible by a long shot. It's a poem of 22 stanzas, and each stanza begins with one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And 11 times, the psalmist uses the word quicken. It's the Hebrew word hayah. Sounds like a karate chop, doesn't it? Well, Judy kick you. It's the word hayah, and it says, quicken me according to thy word, and it's synonymous with this word stirring. Stir me according to your word. Restore me, refresh me, revive me, resurrect me with your word, hayah. Spirit of God stirs us through the word of God. You don't just read the Bible. The Bible reads you. Why? Because it's living and active. Okay, it's like Mentos and Diet Coke. When you connect your life with the Word of God, there's always going to be stuff happening. Hello. When you get into God's Word, when God's Word gets into you, it begins to stir us to action. But here's the deal. Revelation doesn't happen without application. Oh, but we just want more revelation. Gimme. Fill me up. I want to go deep. We just want more revelation. God wants application. To be honest, most of us are educated way beyond the level of our obedience. I said it. I ain't scared of y'all. We don't need to know more. We need to do more with what we already know. That's what Zerubbabel does. He begins the work, and that's it. He starts the work. That's what God was asking him to do. When he was stirred up by the Spirit and stirred up by the Word, he just started working. God will bring it to completion if you just start the work, church. Start the work. Here's how I want to end. I believe and am believing God and praying for a fresh infilling of His Spirit. Ephesians 5:8-10 says this, be filled with the Spirit. In the Greek, that's a present imperative verb. It means to keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time thing that happens at the altar, it happens in prayer time. We are to be daily, continually filled with the Spirit. The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, but we leak. Or is that just me? So this morning, as we get ready to close and pray and go into a time of worship, I want to ask you to invite the Holy Spirit to fill your heart and soul today, to stir you up, because this is what I know for sure. The Holy Spirit is present. All that's missing is our awareness. There is nowhere you can go where the Spirit of God is not there. He is all around us. He is all around you right now, singing songs of deliverance. The Spirit of God is still hovering and breathing and bringing life. He's still anointing and healing and counseling and convicting. The Spirit of the Lord is still comforting and gifting and stirring. And may He do it again today in your life. In the name of Jesus, will you stand this morning as we pray and as we seek God, as we ask the Holy Spirit to stir us and to move in our lives this morning?
As we close out the service today, before I pray, if every head could be bowed and eyes closed, and you were honest with yourself and you said, I need stirring. I need to be stirred up. just lift your hands across the congregation. You need a stirring. You need a fresh outpouring. You need God more. You need to be stirred out of complacency. If your hands are up, I'm going to ask that you come down to the altar. Just make your way. I believe a fresh stirring is needed for everybody. It's so easy in today's time to just ride the wave. But God's not called us to ride the wave. He's called us to be stirred, to get loud, to not back down. So as people are coming across the altar, if you're in the audience, I'm just going to ask that you to stretch your hand forward. We're going to pray for our fresh outpouring. If you're down here, get your hands up, because I believe that God is going to use you in a mighty way, and that you're going to feel His presence like never before. Lord, I just thank You for this morning. Lord, I just thank You, Father, for every person that's in this room. Lord, I thank You for those that are at the altar and those that are on Facebook and in the parking lot. And Lord, this morning I ask that You stir us up, Father. God, stir us up that we cannot be stopped, Lord. Lord, I ask, Father, for a fresh anointing on the people here, Father. Lord, touch their hearts, Lord. Let them have revelation knowledge of Your Word. That when they open up the book of the Bible, Father, that Your Word just pops out in them. God, I thank You that if anyone is complacent in here, that this morning, Father, that You fill them, that they cannot be content with being complacent, Father. They can't go another day with contentment. But this morning, fill out a fresh fire right now. Every distraction that has kept them from going and moving in the direction that You've called them to, let it be removed in the name of Jesus. Bondages that have kept them, generational curses that have held them back, let it be broken off of their life in the name of Jesus. God, don't let this just be a regular altar call where they go back to their seat and they do what they did yesterday. But God, let them leave chains. And what the enemy has meant for harm and spoken into their mind and over their life, I break it in the name of Jesus. I remove what words have been spoken over you, and I command them to come out of your mind. You are the child of the Most High God, and you can do whatever He says you can do. And He sets you free. And I proclaim in the name of Jesus that our church body, is going to usher in a revival. And it's going to come from this congregation. It's going to come from these seats. Lord, I thank You, Father, for an impartation in Your people, Father, that are hungry. God, fill them, Father, with a hunger that cannot be satisfied. Lord, I thank You for a fire that cannot be put out. That no matter what circumstances come their way, that they will not back down, but they will stand in faith. And God, let faith arise this morning on Your saints where they've grown weary and weak. God, I thank You this morning that faith is arising in them, that a warrior spirit is coming out of Your saints this morning. God, that they are ready for battle and that they are going into fight. And Lord, I thank You, Father, that You are anointing us on a level we have never seen before. God, that Your anointing is moving in this place and Your presence is here in a way that we've never felt before. Lord, I thank You, Father, for Your presence. Let's just give Him some praise. Let's just give Him some worship. Let's just worship God right now. Lord, I thank You for Your fresh outpouring. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. We're just going to worship. Don't go anywhere. Just this is worship. Don't miss this opportunity of worship. Let us be God. Would you go to heaven? It's just black and white. Where would eternity be spent? And this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. Say this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in you. Save me. Set me free. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I'm going to live for you the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just praise God for a